Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on our conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Quite a bit to discuss today, folks. The WWE did, in fact, go through with their tag team title unification. More information has come out about Sasha Banks and Naomi and the reasons they walked out of the WWE. We have some information on Ryback, some information on CM Punk. MJF has tweeted a support of a former NXT star. A whole lot to get to. But let's start with what we know about the Sasha Banks and Naomi situation. Now, for the benefit of people who've been living in a cave or whatever, Sasha Banks and Naomi were scheduled to do a six-pack challenge on SmackDown, and they walked out. They put their belts supposedly on the desk of John Laurinaitis, said they were disrespected as tag team champions or whatever, and walked. This led to a suspension, indefinite suspension of both people. And the WWE did, in fact, address it on SmackDown, which we'll get to. But now some more information has come out, and apparently Sasha Banks had been angry since WrestleMania because she felt that her spot at WrestleMania was taken by Ronda Rousey. Now, I am shocked, and worse than shocked, I'm a little bit disgusted by how much support they're getting. I was actually in a discussion group the other day, and someone said, because I had said, or they could have just done what the boss told them to do and avoided all this. And I was told, well, this is a bootlicker mentality. This is what happens when you have a bootlicker mentality and you're subservient to your boss. And you have to be careful what you say on some of these chat sites because you'll just get banned. But the level of dumbness for someone to say that strikes me as profound. So following the orders of your boss is now considered bootlicking. So what is the option? That you don't follow the instructions that your boss gives you when you work at a job. That's the way to be. Don't be a bootlicker. If your boss tells you, I want you to go do X, Y, and Z, you do the opposite. Yeah. That's a great idea. That's a fabulous idea. Or is it only professional wrestling? You see, because nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do that. I want you to remember that there's a contract involved. And the contract says that you are working for the WWE and you will fulfill your obligations to that company. Whether you like fulfilling those obligations or you dislike fulfilling those obligations, everyone has the right to quit a job that they're unhappy in. Everyone does. But you see, if you're unhappy working at Target, then you just say, I'm giving my 2 weeks notice. That's the right thing to do. You don't throw your smock down and walk the hell out and leave them shorthanded because that's you being irresponsible. That's you being a baby, not a bootlicker, a baby. You do the right thing. The right thing for Sasha Banks and Naomi to have done was to say from the very beginning, if Sasha was unhappy, no, I don't want the tag team belts. I want to move my character in a different direction. If you think that that's not something that you're into, maybe we need to just part ways before you start booking me. Or another alternative to that would have been to say, well, I'll do the match, but don't book me to win it because I'm not doing it. I'm not going on to face whoever, Bianca Belair or Ronda Rousey. We've decided we don't want to do that. And they just book somebody else to win it, but you'd still be there. And if the situation was that Vince McMahon said, no, I'm not booking anybody else to win. No, I'm not doing that. You are going to go out there and Naomi is going to win. Then the right thing to do is say, okay, but then I'm telling you ahead of time when I get back to the dressing room, giving you notice. So that won't do you any good. At least you would have given them some sort of warning. This is the, remember when the Ultimate Warrior was in the backstage area saying, I refuse to go out and do my match with Triple H, who at the time was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the Blue Blood. I refuse to go out and do my match with Triple H at WrestleMania because you have it booked that it's about an 8-9 minute match with a lot of offense by Triple H because you're trying to build him up as somebody big, and I'm not here to build him up. I want a 3-minute match where he gets no offense. I no-sell his pedigree and destroy him. Otherwise, I'm not going out there. Otherwise, you can go explain to everybody in the audience why the Ultimate Warrior isn't in WrestleMania. You know what the Ultimate Warrior was called by fans back then? Was he called Courageous? Was he called Honorable and Wonderful? No. He was called every name in the book. Crybaby, Loser, Unwilling to Work with Other People. So what's Sasha Banks? Sasha Banks took her ball and went home mostly because Ronda Rousey showed back up, and Ronda Rousey's a bigger name. So Ronda Rousey got the WrestleMania match. That's life. You got a problem with that? You go to Vince and tell him, I have a problem with the way my character is being booked. There's people who brought up Stone Cold Steve Austin and said, well, he walked. He refused to lose to Brock Lesnar. You're right. But they didn't book it. See, what Stone Cold Steve Austin did was say, if you're planning on this, if this is where this is leading, you can forget it because I'm not doing it. So they didn't plan on it. You have the right to do that, and they got the right to fire you. But they didn't, so that's their business. If Sasha Banks said, I'm not doing this, so don't book me in it, okay, but that's not what she did. She got booked in it and then said, I'm not going to do it. And that's wrong. It's not bootlicking, folks, to honor your contract. I don't understand how modern-day wrestling fans think that that is bootlicking. I don't understand how the dumbest man on the planet, CM Punk, who I've lost completely 100% total respect for. You can say what you want about he's good on the mic. You're right, he is good on the mic. He is a very, very dumb man. Very dumb. He's shrewd, but he's not intelligent. He's shrewd in the sense that he knows I have to keep my name before the public. So if I have to go out and say I think that killing kittens should be legal, he'll do it. He'll do it. And he'll wear a T-shirt that says, let's kill kittens. So people say, isn't that terrible what CM Punk said? That? But they're talking about me. That's the kind of guy he is. But he doesn't have anything to back it up because he's not bright. So he says, oh, I think that's great what Naomi and Sasha Banks did. More people should do that. Yeah, more people should do that. Well, you did it, so of course you think more people should do it. You're the guy who said, I don't want to fight Triple H at WrestleMania. It's the championship or nothing. Well, it was nothing. And what did that lead you to do? A couple of grade Z movies where you proved you can't act, a UFC career where you proved you can't fight, bootlicking 101 by signing up to cover WWE on the Fox network when you said you didn't want nothing more to do with the sport ever, especially the WWE. That should have proved to the world right there what you are. And then taking a contract with AEW because, well, I got nothing else I can do for a living. Correct. Correct. So don't take your advice from CM Punk. He has no idea what he's talking about. Sasha and Naomi should have never walked out. There is no reason in the world to have walked out. None. I don't care if they told you you were losing to the popcorn vendor. Then go lose to the popcorn vendor and then walk out. Hold your head high and say, I did what I was asked, and I'm not going to be treated this way anymore. But you see, Sasha Banks' attitude is, I want you to pay me to show up and do exactly what I want to do and nothing else. So if you have an idea for me and I don't like it, I don't have to do it, but you still have to pay me. If I don't want to lose to somebody, I'm not doing it, but you still have to pay me. If I decide I don't want to do a show 5 minutes before it's on, I'm not doing it, but you still have to pay me. That's not the way the world works, folks. And you better get used to the fact that that's not the way the world works. How about if a baseball pitcher walks up to the manager and says, I'm playing third base today? Well, I got you penciled in as a starting pitcher. Yeah, I don't want to. Well, I mean, you have to. No, I don't have to. I'm not going to. I am an artiste. I have freedom. I'm not a bootlicker. I'm playing third base today, or I'm walking. What do you think would happen to that pitcher? What do you think would happen? So before you go spouting off at the mouth, and I know I'm biting the hand that feeds me, but 90% of the people who listen to this show, and probably more like 95, are very, very intelligent wrestling fans. That's why they listen to this show, and they don't listen to bullshit. But the wrestling community as a whole are dumb as a brick. I have run into people that I really wonder, how do you tie your shoelaces? You know nothing about life. You know nothing about business. You know nothing about the actual way things work. And you are 100% convinced that you know it all. And it's laughable. It's actually laughable. So now I see why people tune in. You can disagree with me and still be intelligent. You can disagree with me about my thoughts on what's a good wrestling match and what isn't, or who's a good wrestler and who isn't. But you can't disagree with facts. You can't disagree with a contract to contract. You can't disagree with, you just can't walk out because you think you're above it all. Because that's a fact. You can't do that. I mean, physically you can. They did. But there's repercussions. And the repercussions here is Sasha Banks and Naomi are both suspended indefinitely, and I got news for you. Their contracts are coming up. And there's a very good chance that they will put those contracts on hold, meaning all the time that they're suspended, that doesn't count. So let's say they have 6 months of their contract, and they're given a six-month suspension. They still got 6 months to fulfill. And what exactly do you think is going to come of it when they come back for those 6 months to fulfill? Do you think they're going to be told, what would you like to do today, Sasha, dear? Let's sit down with all the writers, and Sasha will tell you what she wants to do. You think that's going to happen? Or you think they're going to say, we're going to beat your ass for six straight months? The vast majority of the dressing room is 100% against what they did. 100% against it. I mean, what's Jimmy Uso supposed to say? Of course he's got to support his wife. He knows it's wrong. He's not dumb. We don't have a locker room leader anymore. We got Roman Reigns supposed to be the locker room leader, and instead of telling dumbass Jimmy Uso what was wrong, he's going to play the favoritism game and say, well, don't worry, they won't fire her because of me. Well, I wouldn't be too sure about that because Nia Jax is gone. And Sasha, as far as I'm concerned, Sasha's probably gone. I think she's proven herself to be someone you don't really want to work with. You can't have this. You think Tony Khan's going to want to do this? So Tony Khan is going to hire Sasha Banks, and she's going to be hot for a week or two, and then they're going to say, hey, Sasha, we want to put you on AEW Dark, and she's going to say, no. Oh, no. If I'm not the main event tonight, I'm leaving. fine, let it be Tony Khan's problem then. When she comes over there with a chip on her shoulder saying, if I don't beat Britt Baker by submission in 1 minute on my first match here, I'm walking. And then all the AEW fans who are supporting her now will say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Oh, I see. I see how that works. So, Mike, what can I tell you? I think Sasha Banks is gone. I think Sasha Banks will probably be brought back for the 6 months, or they will cut her loose completely after the suspension. But I don't think she'll be re-signed. If they do make her honor her contract and if they let her go, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Well, and I put it to you this way. I don't even think she's going to get the chance to do what Ted DiBiase did and have them say, we don't even want you to show up. We'll pay you not to show up. You know, she's not going to get a chance to do that either. So, yeah, and think about this. And now there are rumors that the WWE are going to have both of these two ladies arrested because they breached the contract or they did something. There's a clause in the contracts that say they can do this, you know, that the WWE can have them arrested. And this could cost the fans the bloodline, you know. It could. If Jimmy goes and Roman eventually goes because he wants to do movies and all that stuff, what are they going to do with Jay? I mean, they could bring Jay's younger brother up and tag him with him, but I don't think they want to do that. And how is this going to affect the Usos' younger brother? It's a repercussion.
I don't know.
I've not heard of any. See, it would have to go through litigation. I don't see how you could arrest somebody for a contract dispute. If you violate the contract, you can be fired. You may have to give back money. There may be a clause that says we don't have to pay you for the remainder of something or whatever, but I don't know if you can be arrested. I just think that you could be fined, which they haven't done yet, suspended, which they have, or flat-out fired, which I do think is coming. Now, Derek in the chat room is saying, you know, how do you get mad because your spot is taken by Ronda Rousey? Can you not see that coming? Of course you can see that coming. So what were they supposed to do with Ronda, Sasha? Well, we're going to put her in a preliminary match. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's precisely what's going to happen. I'm not saying you have to like it. There shouldn't be a wrestler in that dressing room that doesn't want to be the main event of WrestleMania. I get that, and that's an honorable thing. But at some point, you have to understand business, too. And you have to be able to say, oh, well, I get it. I mean, can you imagine if, like, I always use the music analogy because I'm a musician. So let's say, I don't know, let's say Megadeth is playing a concert and they're the headliners of a festival. And then at the last minute they say, oh, well, we got the Rolling Stones. And Megadeth says, well, we're still the headliners. Or we're walking. Well, you're not going to be the headliners. And Megadeth is going to have to realize, oh, well, they got the Rolling Stones. There goes the headline. I mean, you can't possibly think we're the headliners if they got the Rolling Stones. Well, that's exactly what happened here. When they signed Ronda Rousey, whether Ronda Rousey's a lousy wrestler or not, you knew that she's going to be the main event. And if you didn't, you're a very dumb person. And if you don't understand business, you see, you can't take these things personally. So many people take them personally and say, well, Ronda's terrible, and Sasha's a great wrestler, and I think she's right about it. I don't care what you think. Look at it from a businessman's point of view. Who's going to be the bigger name on that card? Sorry. That's the way it goes, because that's business. Stop bootlicking. See, every single person listening to the sound of my voice that has a boss is pretty much obligated to do one of two things. Either do as your boss asks you to do, and in exchange, you get paid. See, it's not bootlicking unless you're a slave. If your boss says, go wash my car, you don't have to do that. That's bootlicking, not paying you to wash the car. But if your job description is go stock these shelves and you say, I don't want to stock shelves, I think I'll just go wash your car. Uh-uh. Doesn't work that way. The boss gets to use you for what he thinks is the best value for the money he's giving you. You understand that, right? And if you don't like it, quit. But don't walk out on your obligation. Give them some notice. Give them notice. Because then it's at least honorable. If Tony Khan signs her after walking out like this, he's got to be right alongside CM Punk as the dumbest man in the business. Because Tony Khan's going to be like that guy who's, cheating or has a girlfriend who's married and is cheating on her husband. And he says, oh, that's all right. I'm going to marry her. She'll never cheat on me. She was only cheating on him. Yeah. Until it happens to you. Well, it's the same thing with Tony Khan. Oh, she'd never walk out on me, only on Vince, because he's unreasonable. And then the first time she says, well, I want to beat Britt Baker in 35 seconds by submission on television as the main event. And you say, well, you can't do that. I'm leaving. Then he's, oh, what happened? How can this be? Please. Anyway. Ryback is in the news because Ryback, I guess, has gone insane. I don't know. I used to watch Ryback and his channel, and I thought he was a reasonable guy for a little while. I thought he got a bad rap at first because, look, was he a good wrestler? Not really. He was a really good presence, though. And when he was that heel, that monster heel who was destroying people, it was pretty interesting. And I thought, gee, they're going to set him up for somebody big. And then it all fell apart. And I thought, well, you know, he got a bum rap. And I guess maybe he wasn't as into the whole business as I thought and whatever. But now he's going insane. He's literally taken to any kind of platform he can get his ass on or his face on. And saying ridiculous things about Vince McMahon's mother and all kinds of other nonsense. And now I understand why. Because apparently the WWE is going to offer this dude money to cease and desist and not talk about Vince McMahon or the WWE or anything. So basically he's going to be paid off to not be a bully. Paid off to not talk crap about somebody's mother. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If it gets to the point in your life where you have to call somebody's mother a filthy name, when there's really absolutely no possible way you ever even knew who the mother was or had any contact with her. God bless her. She lived to be 100 and I don't know how much, one or two. When it gets to the point where you have to do that to pull a CM Punk, which is exactly what this is doing, how do I stay relevant? I'll call Vince McMahon's mother a dirty name. When it gets to the point where you have to do that to be relevant, it's time for you to end all of it and just go get a normal job and be a normal person because you're never, ever, ever going to be anything ever again. Because anyone who looks at this behavior is going to say, I can't have him in the dressing room. Oh, you might get one or two people from an indie show who don't care because they need to draw, and if his price is right, they might put him in there. But he's never going to be seriously in this business again. He's burned every one of those bridges behind him. Mike, I don't know. I'm not going to repeat what he said about Vince McMahon's mother, but quite obviously he doesn't know Vince McMahon's mother. So it was said just to be hurtful and whatever. And it just goes to show you, I mean, what type of guy he is when the chips get down.
Well, yeah, it's that, but also think about this. Doesn't this sound a lot like he's trying to blackmail Vince?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yeah, so.
But I mean, what are you you're going to pay him off to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
You're going to pay him off, Mike. You're going to keep doing it.
I mean, and to my knowledge, nobody has said Tony Khan, Impact, NWA, nobody said they're going to sign him, even New Japan. They'll sign anybody who might have a name, or All Japan, you know. You know, so to my knowledge, none of those places have said they were going to sign him. He's done.
I agree. He's totally done. I mean, listen, well, could, like I said, could he get small jobs somewhere in a minor indie federation? Yeah, of course they'll hire him, and maybe once or twice he'll go out of the country and maybe somebody will do it. But the vast majority of the people are not going to. They're just not. You've burned those bridges when you act like a nut. Now, there's a lot of things he could have said. If Ryback said, look, I was on the verge of being the top heel in the business. I was having a run like nobody else. They were setting me up big for, you know, a big, huge match against whoever. And then they kind of dropped me like a cold potato, and I feel like, well, I wasn't given a fair shot at this. Okay, well, you've got an argument there. I don't know if I agree, but you've got an argument. But what the hell's that got to do with Vince McMahon's mother? What the hell's that got to do with other people's lives in the WWE? It's silly. It's childish. That's what it is. It's the equivalent of getting fired from a job and then going on the internet and saying, my boss is a crook and a thief, and he did, oh yeah, well, if you're all those things, why'd you work for him for so long? If it's so horrible, see, this is the thing that gets me. If it's so horrible working for the WWE and it's, oh, geez, every day is it just a terrible day. It's just terrible. Why are you working there? You've got options. See if Tony Khan will hire you. See if you can go to Japan. See, there's other federations to go to. Impact might be interested. Oh, but that might be a little less money. And it's not so bad considering the money. I gotcha. So you're the bootlicker. And Sasha Banks is a bootlegger, because Sasha Banks would come back tomorrow if they said, Sasha, honey, we got you booked, and you're going to win all the gold and unify everything, and you're going to be the big cheese. She'd be like, when do you want me there? These are people who start believing their own publicity. That's the problem. Now, even when I was defending Sasha Banks a year or so back, I told you, she's not fifth or sixth even in ranking in the WWE as far as quality women's wrestlers. Number one, she's very injury prone. Number two, she's very temperamental. Number three, she's so small that it looks absolutely ridiculous when she's in the ring with people like Charlotte Flair or Doudrop or even average-sized women. Now, I know you could say the same thing about Alexa Bliss. But Alexa Bliss ain't causing those problems. Alexa Bliss is just as solid of a wrestler as Sasha Banks. Rhea Ripley's better. Asuka's better. Charlotte's better. Becky Lynch is better. Bianca Belair's better. Naomi is as good, if not better. Even Nikki Cross, she's allowed to do what she's going to do, is as good or better. So I don't want to hear this. She's the top person. Here's what she is. She's the face of the modern female type thing. I'm this big, strong, boss, independent woman, and I rock, and I got all the jewelry and the bling bling, and I'm cool. That's what it is. It's her image. It has nothing to do with what she's doing in the ring, because doing in the ring, most every one of these women are just as good as her. And that's fine, because that's the most important thing. Image can be the most important thing. But you don't get to dictate every single thing you do. You just don't. You can pitch your ideas, but if your ideas are not used, then they're not used. You're taking the money. Ryback was the same way. Ryback started believing his own publicity. Well, I don't want to get beat. Well, everybody gets beat. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Yeah, I know. Everybody. See, here's the problem, folks. If you opened your federation tomorrow and you hired a whole bunch of wrestlers and you said, look, I'm going to be the most benevolent boss in the world, you all get to write your own storylines. 25 guys are going to come to you and say, my storyline says I'm the champion. What are you going to do? Make 25 guys the champion simultaneously? Who's going to lose? Who's going to be the enhancement talent? You can't do it. It doesn't work. Behavioral issues is the number one thing that causes wrestlers to get fired. Believe me, it's not lack of talent. Because the bottom line is, if you are a professional wrestler making a living, complete living, as a professional wrestler, you are in an elite group of people. There's not that many. And you didn't get there because you suck. So basically, everybody in all of these federations who are making their sole living off professional wrestling are very good at what they do, or they wouldn't be there. The problem is when you start this behavioral nonsense and you start disrupting the show. So let me ask you a question. All you people defending Sasha Banks. So let's say WWE says, you're absolutely right, Sasha. You're absolutely right. You will be the main event of WrestleMania. We'll go tell Ronda. And Ronda says, well, then I don't want to. I'm not going in WrestleMania. How come Ronda doesn't get to do what she wants, but Sasha does? So if Ronda then says, well, I'm sorry, I want to be the main event, and I'm promised the main event, and that's the way I'm going to be. I won't be disrespected. Then they say, well, Sasha, we talked to Ronda, and she still wants to be the main event. Okay, well, then I'm walking. Okay, we'll go tell Ronda that she has to be down lower on the card. And Ronda says, no, okay, we'll go tell Sasha. It's just a never-ending battle. There has to be a boss who decides, and you got to go with it. Now, as far as Naomi is concerned, I have no idea what her problem is. Because I really, even Sasha, I don't know what her problem is. Because you were given the WWE tag team titles and then said, well, they don't mean anything. Then why did you take them? Why didn't you walk away before you were given them? Why didn't you say, nope, we don't want them because they don't mean any. You don't even have any women's tag team division, so we don't want them. We're going to be solo people. Why didn't you do that? Then when you're given the opportunity and they say, well, right now you're right, we don't have that many contenders for your title, so we're going to kind of put you in singles action, and we're going to put both of you on a major pay-per-view against the champions. No, that's not good enough. Well, then what is good enough? What's better booking than that? I don't know. Put us in a match with Doudrop and Nikki Cross. Yeah. Because we didn't already see that on SmackDown, and you squashed them. Nobody wants to see that again. That's not a main event match for Hell in a Cell. That's not even a halfway decent house show match. And that was your idea that you wanted. So I want to ask wrestling fans, which would you rather have seen? Would you rather have seen Nikki Ash and Doudrop go for the women's tag team belts against Sasha Banks and Naomi, as Sasha and Naomi wanted? Or would you rather have seen Sasha Banks go one-on-one with Ronda Rousey for the belt and Naomi go one-on-one with Bianca Belair? I'll tell you what I wanted to see. I want to see that. Two good matches. As opposed to one lousy one. So I don't get it, Mike. I don't get how they felt disrespected in any way.
I don't get it either. You know, and that's the thing. And I mean, look, and Hick, I've said it before. Before this had happened, Jimmy Uso was lobbying for them to do that whole bloodline thing and add her to the bloodline, and which would have eventually ended up probably in Naomi winning both titles, right? So, and okay, if that was the case and he's lobbying and Naomi goes in there and says, look, I know you want us to do this right now, but my husband is lobbying for this and I think it'd be a better thing to do this, so I'm leaving the title here. Sure, fine. Okay, I get that, and that's the thing. And look, I'll say this. They don't need Sasha Banks. We've said this before about the WWE's women's division. It's the best women's division in the world. They may not use them well enough, all of them well enough, but it's still talent-wise and performance-wise, it's still the best women's division in the world, and they don't need a person like Sasha Banks. I mean, look, we talked about how, you know, they say, well, we don't have anything for Alexa Bliss, and Alexa Bliss let people know that they told her that, which I guess is in her right to do because, one, she's one of the top merchandise sellers, and you can't find anything for her to do. But that's a totally different situation. Alexa's just talking about, well, I'm this, and I still want to work here, and you can't find me anything to do. You know?
The difference with Alexa Bliss is this, Mike. Alexa Bliss never tweeted one time, the WWE is screwing me. The WWE sucks. I'm tired of this. No. When fans were asking, Alexa, where are you? She said, I'm just sitting over here waiting. When they said, well, what's going on? She says, well, you know, creative says they don't have anything for me with a shrug emoji. Okay, so she's kind of saying in a roundabout way, you go figure. But she's not complaining. She's just saying, I'd like to be used. So here's Alexa Bliss saying, I'd like to be used. I'd like to come back and wrestle. While Sasha Banks is saying, I don't want to wrestle unless I get everything my way. I want a big bowl of M&Ms in the back, and they all got to be green. Or I'm not performing. I mean, at some point, you just got to cut ties with people like that. You just got to cut ties with people like that. Because they're not going to do you any good in the long run. And then they put out some tweet saying, well, we're earning money for that company. We're moving merch and we're selling tickets. Well, you didn't care about how many people came to see you on SmackDown, did you? You didn't care about all the little girls in the audience with the Sasha Banks Boss t-shirts and the signs that says Naomi and Glow and all this kind of stuff when you walked out on them after they paid to see you. You didn't care about them. So don't give me your boo-hoo-hoo-ness now. I don't want to hear it. Period. Look at all the behavioral issues that have cost people. Ryback will probably never be in a major federation ever again. Not even Impact or nothing like that. Nobody's coming calling. Why do you think? Even NWA hasn't come to call. Now, Alberto Del Rio, they give him a million chances in Mexico because he's a legend and he has a family history there. And what does he do? He screws him too. Apparently, he just got into some problem with a federation in Mexico where he was told to be there by 2 o'clock. He shows up at 5. The promoter does the right thing. The promoter says, don't let him in. Tell him he's off the card. He's not wrestling. We're not doing this. Everybody else showed up at 2. He's not walking in at 5 o'clock saying, I'm special. So what does Del Rio do? Kicks down the goddamn door. Gets into a fight with security. Basically bullies himself onto the show. You think anybody's going to hire a guy like that? You think anybody, any rational businessman is going to say, this is who I want to deal with? I don't know of anybody who would do that. So once again, there's behavioral issues. Speaking of behavioral issues, something interesting has come to light. We had said, a month back, when the Judgment Day first started, we said, man, Harlan would have been great for Judgment Day. Apparently, as we said, I think on the previous show, Edge was pitching for Harlan. And then Harlan was released. And I told everyone who listens to this show, do not believe that it was because he wasn't advancing as a wrestler. He wasn't getting better. He's almost getting better. Is Shanky getting better? So I said, something's wrong. There's more to this story. They didn't fire him for that reason. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Well, guess what's come to light? Well, something was found out about Harland. They won't say what. And because they found it out, they released him. So in other words, they got ahead of what they thought could be a bad story. Something happened. I don't know what happened. Maybe we'll never find out, folks. But something did. There was some issue in his past. I don't know what it is. And he's released. But I want people to remember something. All of you people who are saying, I feel bad for Sasha. I feel bad for Naomi. How come we didn't feel bad when they released, what the hell is the guy's name? I can't even think of him now. Mike, the big bald guy that came out as a freak, Lars Sullivan. How come we didn't get mad when they released Lars Sullivan because they found out he made a homosexual porno film? Can I ask you, do you think there's anything wrong with being a homosexual? What are you? Suddenly you're homophobic? I thought you all were proud. Oh, that is, he should be your champion. Right? He's not afraid. And then he made some slurs. Well, obviously he didn't mean the slurs, because if he said those things about gay men, he was in a film. So he couldn't have possibly meant them. Oh, but he has to go. Gotta go. Then the kid from NXT. When he's like 19, he dresses up like Hitler for some stupid thing that he was doing. And takes a picture. And I guess they had the picture hanging around. His wife confiscated it. And when they got divorced, she's like, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to ruin your career. And everybody says, well, it's very obvious he dressed up as Hitler because he's a member of the Nazi party. That's so stupid. He dressed up as a joke. MJF himself has come out and said, I lived with the guy. He's not in any way, shape, or form anti-Semitic. Just leave him the F alone. But no, he's got to go. Because he made such an egregious, horrible decision. What's egregious and horrible about that? Actors do it all the time. Maybe you're making fun of somebody. Maybe you're dressing up as somebody to mock them and make fun of them. Isn't that what you say when somebody dresses up like a bandito or something? Oh, you're mocking. You're mocking their nationality. Well, maybe he was mocking Hitler. See, you dress up as Hitler, it's because you love him. You dress up as an Indian, it's because you hate Indians. How does that work? I don't get that. Maybe if I dress up as an Indian, it's because I think it's a wonderful, you know, if I dressed up as Halloween for an Indian, maybe because I think, you know, they're proud and brave and strong and whatever, and I admire them. Nope. If you dressed up as an Indian for Halloween, you're mocking the Indian heritage, and you need to be canceled. Do it for Hitler, and, oh, you must love him. Mike, you can't juxtapose the two.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, think about it. You know, There are people that have, I mean, Saturday Night Live has done a whole bunch with the different political figures, and when they needed somebody to come and do President Trump, who did they get? They got Alec Baldwin, who eventually, just recently, they're not going to get him again because he's in trouble because he shot somebody, and he was careless with a gun on a movie set, right? You know? And he killed somebody, basically. So they're not going to get him again, but he was playing a role. He was an actor playing a role. Everybody here is an actor playing. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. If you're going to do this to this guy and fire him because of this, there's no way a person like, I don't know, former goose-stepping Nazi wrestler, Baron von Roski, something like that could happen today.
It couldn't happen today, Mike. You're absolutely right. None of this stuff could happen today. None of it. Let's get into a little SmackDown talk, because there were a couple of good things that happened on SmackDown and a couple of dumb things. Let me get into the dumb thing. The dumb thing is, I don't know what you're doing with Butch, but he can't lose every week, folks. He can't lose every week and throw a temper tantrum and still be taken seriously. Where's the temper tantrum going? So he loses and throws a temper tantrum. That's supposed to be entertaining? It's not entertaining. It's dumb. He's got to start winning. Period. Or being disqualified. If you're going to have that, if you want him to do the temper tantrum but still make him look like he's a tough guy, have him disqualified. And then Sheamus could just say, well, the drawback is you can't really control him. You let him off the leash, and he's like a little pit bull, and he just goes nuts. And he doesn't always follow the referee's directions or the rules or whatever. That's just the way he is. It's the way he's always been. Then you can get some really fun no DQ matches out of him. But if he just gets wrapped up in small packages every week, he looks like a bum. He doesn't look like a tough guy. He looks like a bum. And that's exactly now what you're doing with Butch. You're making him look like a bum. Now, I'm pretty sure Pete Dunne isn't going to take his ball and go home like Sasha Banks. But, Mike, I do say that it's undermining him a bit to have him lose every single week.
Right. Yeah, right. And that's the thing. I mean, it would be a totally different thing if they were trying to play him like they – like the NWA or WCW tried to play the Mokies, you know, lovable losers,
right.
Couldn't get over until they did, right? But that's not what they, mm-hmm. That was not the goal with Butch, you know. They had to change, first off, they had to change him from being Pete Dunne, which is a specialist, a technical specialist, you know, that type of thing, because he's not big enough to do what he was doing, but he's good enough and big enough to do this. Now, you're right. You cannot have him be wrapped up like this. And this isn't the first wrestler gimmick that they've done this to, the WWE. So it's not Pete Dunne's fault that they're doing this to him, because they've done this to other people before, you know?
Yeah, they really have. I just think it undermines his character, and I would have rather seen the story be he doesn't win because he's disqualified, but he's a handful. You really can't control him, and he's just vicious, because then it leads to a better storyline. Now, he started off with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, and that was a very good match. Very good match. Nakamura won. I like the ending, because they teased the ending where Nakamura is going to be counted out, but he wasn't. And then it was almost Sami Zayn counted out, but he wasn't. And then instantaneously, when Sami Zayn just makes the 9 count, he gets the Kinshasa for the 1-2-3. The match didn't have any real consequence, but every match doesn't need to. It can just be a really good match, and this was a really good match. So I'm happy with that. I think SmackDown should do that more often. Start out with a really good match. Start out with a match that's going to give us 15 minutes and be really back and forth, hard fought match. And I think that's going to help make people stay tuned. When the first match is just like some kind of a squash match or a match that nobody cares about or whatever, it tends to be easy to switch the channel. When you have a match that you say, well, okay, this could be a really solid match, and you let it be a really solid match, Mike, then more people are going to stay tuned for the next one.
It wasn't just a really solid match. Did you notice what happened after the match as he was going back to the back and the bloodline was coming out?
Yes.
He stops and stares down Roman Reigns.
Basically
teasing him and Roman Reigns again. So two things came out of that match. You get a really solid match, and you get a hell of a tease.
Absolutely. Now, some more things that went right, we'll wait for a minute. Let me say something that kind of backfired, and I'm surprised. Baron Corbin, who does everything he's told, and he's a great heel, and he's usually really good on the mic, cut a not a good promo. And it's a shame, because Madcap Moss needs a good promo. He needs somebody to cut a good promo to get him over. And this was Baron Corbin's opportunity, Happy Corbin, whatever, to get him over. And while some of the things he said was right, it had to be said in a different way. See, instead of him coming out here and saying, this is the happiest I've ever been, and I did this, and no, that's not at all what he should have said. He should have said, you know, this is happy talk, but I'm not very happy. I'm not very happy at all. Because Madcap Moss decided he was going to come in here when I was the person who brought him here. He was a hanger-on, which he said. He was somebody who basically worked at my behest, and he tried to show me up, and he did show me up. He won this damn Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Sheer luck, but he did it. And then he tries to make fun of me. Let me tell you something. He doesn't have a career here. He thinks he's a tough guy. The crowd's going to like him. He thinks he's going to be somebody special. He's not any of those things. If he was any of those things, he would have been before I found him. And when I found him, he was nothing, or he wouldn't have had to leech onto me. So I promise you, Madcap Moss will never amount to anything in this federation. And now he knows it, and now you know it. Because I know what they're going to do with him. They're going to bring him back, and he's not going to be Madcap Moss. He's just going to be Randy Moss. And that would leave the door open for Randy Moss to say, Happy Corbin was right about one thing. Madcap Moss was a guy who was a little bit of an overachiever. Tried hard, never really succeeded at anything, gave it his best, but came up short. Had my one moment in the sun when I won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Some people call it luck. But he's right, Madcap Moss is never really going to amount to anything here in the WWE. However, Randy Moss will. Because then that wipes out the whole nonsense, and people say, "Ooh, okay, now we see where it's going. No more bullshit. He's out for blood." And I think you'd have got a hell of a lot better mileage out of that, Mike.
I think so, too. And, well, I mean, you would have, but I do like the fact that he destroyed the trophy, you know. And then, of course, McAfee and Cole did the right exact thing and said, look, you're not just disrespecting Moss. You're disrespecting everybody else, including yourself, whoever won that trophy. You're disrespecting Andre the Giant by destroying the trophy. That was the right thing to say. That was the right reaction to Corbin destroying that trophy. That was the right reaction. So, yeah, you may have not liked the entire thing, but the very end of that segment was the right reaction by the two commentators.
Yeah, like, for instance, you know, what is Moss's real name? It is Randy Moss, right? I don't even know what his name is. But regardless, Madcap Moss didn't play for the NFL, so you can't say, well, you know, he can't say he's a loser. No, he could say he's a loser. He could say Madcap is a loser. But I'm not. He could even bring up his past NFL and say, you know, the guy before Madcap, he wasn't a loser. You sort of have the opportunity. Baron Corbin had to sell him a little bit better. Baron Corbin, in my opinion, yes, smashing the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy is great because it disrespects everybody that won it before, but Corbin's one of them. Corbin won it before. So you can't say it's disrespecting everybody because Corbin won it. And then you say, well, it's disrespecting Andre's memory. It is, but this isn't about Andre. This is not about getting Corbin over. Corbin's over. He's a heel. It's about getting Madcap over or Moss over. So destroying the trophy gets Corbin over. It doesn't get Moss over. You got to get Moss over. That's your job in this promo. So you got to concentrate on saying he's never going to amount to anything. He's this, that, and the other thing. A few of you loser fans who identified with him started cheering him, and it went to his head. The best thing you can do, if he ever does show his face up here again, is to stay quiet when he wrestles, because all you're doing is encouraging him. He's going to encourage him to get killed because he doesn't have any talent. Always been a loser, always will be. That way, when he comes back and says, no, I haven't always been a loser, people would say, oh, we're getting a whole different guy here now. And then if Corbin sells it as, okay, you know, I sort of brought out a different side of him, that would be a whole lot better. I just think he could have done more to sell Moss instead of sell himself. And at the end of that promo, my thought was he sold himself. And I don't think that was the job of that particular promo. It wasn't horrendous, but I just think he could have done a whole lot better. Well, let's talk about the 800-pound gorilla in the room, because we said the WWE blew it, and they did blow it. They sent posters to the UK with the Usos having all the tag team titles before SmackDown. And I said on the last show, looks like the WWE made a boo-boo. Looks like the Usos are going to win it, because they wouldn't be sending pictures of them with all of the tag team titles if they didn't win it. So that's inexcusable. That's just plain dumb, and it's inexcusable for a company this big to make that kind of a mistake. But let me tell you what good has come out of this. Number one, this match was an excellent match. Number two, despite people saying that was a work that Riddle got injured, that was a work because they want Riddle to have to be out for a little while or something, I'm being told that was not a work. I'm being told that Riddle hurt his hip. And bad enough for a doctor to look at it. Bad enough for a referee to call a halt to the match for a minute. And he still went on with it, so I have a little more respect for Riddle than I did. Number two, we have said for I don't know how long, Randy Orton is on fire. Randy Orton, right now, his popularity has never been higher. He can thank Riddle for a lot of that, and Riddle can thank him for being more popular. They complimented each other. But he's never been hotter. And for Randy Orton to be destroyed at the end of that show was the exact right thing to do, because it put the crowd sympathy on him, and at the same time, it's, oh, there's going to be repercussions. Randy Orton is not going to stand for this. This isn't your typical Roman Reigns opponent here. Randy Orton has been around for I don't know how long. He's not putting up with this bullshit. That's what fans are thinking. All you had to do, folks, is take a look at the end of that match, and you actually saw kids crying. People upset. That was real heat. So much of the heat that you see now is fake. You see some guy standing up booing, and 2 seconds later he's laughing. Yeah, I'm booing a bad guy. I'm booing a bad guy. That's not real heat. What you saw at the end of that match was real heat. There's some people who were upset. Now, when the WWE screws up, I'm the first person to twist the damn screw, right? So when they do the right thing, I have to be honest and be the first person to praise it. This was brilliant, and here's why it was brilliant. You took the most popular team you had and two guys who are beloved now, and you literally had them screwed over, beaten, left like dogs, and you know what that reaction is going to be. And we speculated on this show that the right way to handle this is to have Riddle say, I'm hurt and I can't go on with the tag team right now, but Randy, go out there and do what you have to do, and you take care of Roman Reigns. And the fans will go nutso. Remember we came up with that fantasy booking? I think that's exactly where this is going, folks. I think they're going to say, as a result of his injury, on top of what happened after the match, Riddle is hurt. He's going to be out for a little while, or he's going to not be able to wrestle at least. He might be around, but he won't be able to physically compete in the ring for a little while. And he's going to tell Randy Orton, go do what you have to do with my blessing. That's going to be big, Mike. They've hit this one right on the head. This one is a home run.
Right. And think about this. Let's just say for the sake of argument that the end result is Roman Reigns, after Roman Reigns possibly fights Nakamura, but let's just say for the end result is a Roman Reigns match versus Randy Orton for the titles, and Randy Orton wins that title, those titles. That's going to blow the damn roof off the place.
Well, again, you got branches on the tree, Mike, because, yeah, you could say it's only for one belt, and maybe you can give the belt to Randy for a while, but then you've got another option, don't you? And that other option is people are going to be rooting so hard for Randy Orton, and they're going to want to see that so badly that if Orton gets screwed, all the heat's going to be on Roman, and the next opponent for Roman, people are going to just be popping for. So you could use Randy Orton to build up tremendous heat on Roman Reigns, too. So there is a lot of branches on this tree. There are a lot of ways you can go. I personally would go that way. If you've got The Rock ready for WrestleMania, I don't think you can have Roman Reigns lose anything until WrestleMania. And I don't think he'll lose one there. Because I don't see how The Rock's going to be a champion. But you got to have him going in there undefeated to make this a big match. And if somehow, some way, he gets by Randy Orton, that's big time. Now, something else that could be a branch on a tree is, you know, you build this match up, like you said, you let him fight Nakamura first, he beats Nakamura, he tries to avoid Randy Orton, but Randy Orton is right on his tail saying, I want my title shot. You have Riddle saying, I know we're a tag team, but right now we don't have the belts. I don't know when I'm going to be back in action. Go do this. Go do this for both of us. Then Randy Orton has his blessing. Randy Orton's going to tear him apart, and maybe Riddle interferes and costs Randy Orton the match and says, this was always about you, Randy. It was really never about the tag team, was it? It was always about you. I get hurt, and what do? That way he's disingenuous, and Orton can say, what the hell are you talking about? You told me to do it. You told me to go out there and do it for both of you. Yeah, but you didn't do it for both of us. You just did it for you. Just like your whole life, you did everything for you. And you'd have one hell of a blood feud. You've got a lot of branches on a tree, Mike, and the WWE can play around with these ideas for a little while, which is a really good position to be in.
Right, and think about this. You know, all this stuff about, you know, the Usos and Naomi and stuff like that, you know, and basically possibly both Usos being gone or whatever, but I don't think that's going to happen either. But let's just say for the sake of argument, your scenario happens and he says this, this, and this, and, at, you know, we know what might possibly happen with this thing, where there's a couple of matches that maybe one or both the Usos cost Randy Orton the match, right? Well,
right.
That's just we know Riddle's going to come back eventually, right? And after those matches happen with the Usos, then Riddle comes back. You have a third match, and Riddle and it appears that one of the Usos is going to come back and try to interfere again. That's when Riddle shows up and takes the guy out.
Like I said, there's so many branches on the tree. You could have Randy Orton lose without Riddle turning on him, but the Usos interfering. And that just leads to, okay, Randy Orton didn't win the belt, but him and Riddle, when Riddle comes back, they're going to tear the Usos apart. That's fine. That's a good storyline by itself. If you wanted to break them up, certainly that you'd get a big WrestleMania match out of that with Riddle against Orton. You could have there's a ton of things you could have happen. This is what I talk about when I talk about branches on a tree. When writers write things like this, it's like having an entire garden full of ideas where you say, all right, now you've planted some seeds, but a lot of things can grow. It's not just one thing. Well, this is what we're at right now, and that's why I love this ending. And I loved the real emotion they showed in the crowd. Yes, it was kids. It doesn't matter. What matters is there's genuine heat. That was genuine heat. And you can't buy that. I mean, you either get it or you don't get it. And this time they got it. So they should be very happy that they got it. Now, as far as the announcers addressing what happened with Sasha Banks and Naomi, I know a lot of people said, that's a bad idea, that's stupid, they should have just let it go. No. Nope. I disagree with you. I disagree with you. What I will agree with you on is this. Once they mentioned it like that, I clearly understood one of two things is going to happen. Either neither one is ever coming back. Because you buried them. How are the fans supposed to get into them when you buried them? You buried them. So either they're never coming back, or if they come back, they're going to be heels because there's nothing else they can do. So, yeah, that made a difference. But I'm all for it. I'm all for telling the fans the honest truth. I mean, what are you going to do? There are people saying you didn't say why they left. Well, what do you want them to do? You want them to totally break kayfabe and come out and say, now, we had a plan that Sasha was going to lose, but Naomi was going to win. They're not going to do that on television. They're not going to do that. They said the truth. They set the belts down, said they felt disrespected. Well, please explain to me how Sasha Banks has been so horribly disrespected by the WWE. That's what I want Sasha Banks fans to tell me. Sasha Banks has never been in a position where she was cycled down very far. Think about it. Was Sasha Banks ever in a position of Nikki Ash, where she was basically just cannon fodder? Was Sasha Banks ever in a position where she was Dana Brooke? No. She's never been cycled down. She's always been right in the title picture for I don't know how long, years. Years and years. So how is she disrespected? How is she not properly utilized? That's a lie. Naomi could have a better argument. For a while, Naomi was cycled down. She was somebody taking the pinfall every week. She was somebody who wasn't being utilized at all and being enhancement talent. So if she said, I feel disrespected, well, you should have said that a long time ago. You're a tag team champion now. How disrespected can you be? They're going to let you win and go on to face Bianca Belair. How disrespected can you be? You were way more disrespected 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and you didn't walk out then. So if you didn't walk out then, how come when you got a belt around your waist and you're going to go for a championship at the next pay-per-view, now you feel disrespected? That doesn't make sense. So we'll see where this goes. But I'm not against them bringing it up on the show, Mike. I think the fans needed to be told something, and they were told pretty much the truth.
Absolutely. And think about this. I'm starting to think about it, and I'm starting to smell a rat because, one in this whole situation, that it might very well – people say it's not a work, whatever, whatever. It might very well be a very sophisticated – work, because you know, like you said, the only way that they come back is as heels. And I've said this about Naomi. You know, you bring her back as a heel, but you also you divorce her completely from the gimmick of the glow, and you even have her change her name, maybe call her Trinity Uso or something like that. You know.
I'll put it to you this way. I guarantee it's not a work. Them leaving is not a work. Now, whether the announcing, whether then they got in touch with them, told them you're going to be suspended for your actions and we're going to bring you back doing something different, and the announcers telling the fans what happened is a work, that's a little more probable. A little more possible. It's still a long shot, but there's some possibility that in between that week and this week, the WWE came to some terms with them of some kind and said, you're getting a suspension for this, but we plan on bringing you back, so we're going to announce this on TV. We're going to start building you up to be heels or whatever. That's a possibility. But them actually doing it was absolutely not a work, Mike.
Right, and that's saying, and furthermore, think about this. If this whole scenario is true, and well, if the whole thing about them bringing them back as heels and maybe even splitting them up, you know, two things come out of that. One, of course, you can now, as a heel, put Naomi with Roman and them. And two, what's going to happen? We said it before about Bayley. What's going to happen when Bayley gets back? You know,
she's definitely going to get a bump. Yeah.
Right, and she's going to be cheered, and they're going to blow the roof off of. Can you see a blood feud between Bayley and Sasha?
Yeah, you sure could. Look, there's things to be done with them. There's no question. If you want to use this, and let me tell you something. My philosophy has always been if something horrible happens, like them walking out like this, and you can get them back, and you decide they're still worth something to your company, you might as well use it to your advantage. It's almost like when Edge and Lita ended up sleeping together and Matt Hardy found out, they used it to their advantage. They could use this to their advantage because they could have Roman Reigns say, absolutely right, she was disrespected and blah, 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 and that's why she needs to join the bloodline, and Sasha and Bayley could have a big feud over things. That's absolutely correct, too. So, yes, they could use them. Absolutely 100% could. And that's why I said the announcers mentioning it could be a work. But them walking out was not. That was legit. Absolutely 100% legit. So maybe they're just going to make the best of a bad situation. At least that's what I hope. At least that's what I hope. But I have a feeling with their contract, see, here's another thing you don't do. If your contract has been like 6 months of running out, you walking out is not a good thing. That's not conducive to a great contract negotiation. You better take some tips from old AJ Styles. What's AJ Styles do? AJ Styles says, gee, I'd love to be in the WWE for the rest of my career and maybe transition into something behind the scenes, but... you know, I don't want to wrestle forever, and I certainly will listen to offers when my contract comes up. I mean, obviously, I want to make the most money I possibly can for my family in the last couple of years of my career, so I'm certainly open to listening. And then you have all your best friends over in AEW tweet, we can't wait to see AJ Styles over here. We're going to reform the Bullet Club, and Vince McMahon says, how many zeros do you want, AJ? When AJ had no intention of leaving the WWE. That's called playing your cards without being insulting. Walking out, that's the exact opposite. That's the exact opposite. And that's the problem. But I will tell you this. I saw things this week on SmackDown that literally made me sit up and say, oh, now we're starting to head in a good direction. Now we're starting to get to a place where I'm actually interested in some things. And now I'm starting to see a little more quality writing. And it wasn't just the Usos match, although that had whoever booked that match, everything in that match that was booked perfectly. So whoever booked that match did an excellent, excellent job. Excellent job. And all the players involved did an excellent job. But there's other things in that show that was good. Other things in that show were booked very well. The opening match, like I said, it's okay. There's no big story behind it. But what did we get out of it? We got a really good match that people say, well, that was fun. Maybe I'll stay tuned for the second match. Those are the important things sometimes, Tom, to keep the viewers entertained. And you know, not every match has to be a championship match.
Yeah, no, agreed. And, you know, to be honest with you, Marcus, like, this is not a it's not an isolated incident. This is not something that is a one and done. That, you know, Sasha has done this before. And I think, to be honest with you, I think she's one of these people that's holding back the women's division by doing what she did. Naomi, too. Naomi, this is the first time, and honestly, she, you know, she hasn't done it before, but, you know, they put – if you didn't want the tag team belts because you thought that they were going to be, you know, not something that you want, you know, that were going to be a long-term thing, then you know, that's what you had. You have to speak up then. They weren't disrespected when they're cashing their paychecks. So I don't understand. No, you know,
no, of course not. But according to the wrestling community, if you don't get to do what you want to do, then you're a bootlicker. I don't understand that. Can you imagine being a director for a movie and saying, okay, in this scene, Tom Cruise is going into this bar and he's going to kick the hell out of you, and you say, well, I'm a Golden Gloves boxer. That's disrespectful. Yeah, but he's a big star. I don't care. I can beat his ass. So I've rewritten the script, and the script says I beat Tom Cruise's ass in this scene. You know what the director's going to tell you? Get the fuck off the set. That's what he's going to tell you. Get your ass up off the fucking stool. Get the hell out. We'll find somebody else. We don't need a prima donna in here. You got a role to play, you play it. I don't give a damn what happens in real life. So if Sasha Banks' argument is, I'm a much better wrestler than Ronda Rousey, I shouldn't have to lose to her or lose my spot at WrestleMania, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. It's the old Tom Cruise analogy. Tom Cruise couldn't kick the hell out of James Ellsworth, but he's kicking the hell out of everybody in his Jack Reacher movies, right? You think any of them guys can't kick his ass? You think any of them told the director, I'm being disrespected? Fucking silly. I'm sorry to use the language, but I, you know, Mike, it gets to the point where you talk to wrestling fans and you hope that they understand. And when they come up with just silly things like, I'm with Sasha, and then you got CM Punk, the hero of the stupid. That's what I'm calling him from now on. He is the hero of the stupid. The uninformed and the easily led. That's who CM Punk's fan base is, the stupid and the easily led. He'll say something like, support Sasha and Naomi. And everybody's like, yes, yes, that's what we have to do. No. If you think for 1 minute that if he didn't, if he called this show, I'd tell him to his face, that's dumb. And you know what he'd tell me? How many years you been in the business? Because they have no answers. See, that's the thing. Well, how many years have you been in the UFC business? You got your ass kicked. Yet you were trying to tell people what to do from what I hear in the training facility. That's why nobody liked you there. How many years experience do you have as an actor? You tried it, didn't you? The bottom line of the situation is all the people don't want to be criticized. Unless you've done exactly what I do, you can't criticize me. Bullshit. I call bullshit. I've signed many a contract in my life. I know what a contract means. So don't give me none of the nonsense. Don't give me none of the creative freedom crap. If I sign a contract to paint Mike's house blue and I paint it polka dot green and yellow, he can sue me. And the reason he can sue me is because I didn't fulfill the contract. And if I say, well, I think his house looks stupid blue, so I think it looks great the way I painted it, and I happen to be an artist, and I can prove that I'm an artist. You know what the judge is going to tell me? You can take that proof of you're an artist and shove it in your ass. You signed a contract to paint the man's house the color he wanted, and you decided to take it upon yourself to not do it. So you violated the contract. That's what he would say. Even if I got a special witness, CM Punk, to say, but he's an artist. We got to stand with Marcus Kane. Stand with Marcus. Wouldn't matter. I'd lose the case hands down, Mike.
Right. And think about this. I have a friend that lives in Austin, Texas. She lives in a neighborhood that's ruled by an HOA, right? Homeowners Association. And these people, you know, very political, and they tell these people how tall to keep their grass, what color they can paint their houses, and stuff like that. And so when they allow these other people, like these, well, I don't want to say Mexicans, but, you know, Spanish people, whatever, to come in there, and they say, well, you can only paint your house like earth tones and all this stuff, and then they allow these people to come in there and compound, hot pink and red and electric green and all this stuff when everybody else has to paint their house like earth tones, you know, that's playing favorites, right? You cannot,
of course.
In that situation, that's playing favorites. You can't, in the wrestling business, in any business, you cannot play favorites.
Of course not. Let me give you another example. How about if the homeowners association says you can have two cars? Two cars and that's it. That's all we got room for. And you have seven and you say, well, I'm a mechanic. It's my job. I have to have these cars here. They're going to say, well, we don't care if you're a mechanic. Then you should not have signed the contract. Because the bottom line is the contract says this. Now, when you sign a WWE contract, it basically tells you that you have to do what you're obligated to do. Now, if you got a special clause in the contract that says, but everyone except Sasha Banks, who can veto every single thing, well, there are people who have that contract. Brock Lesnar is one of them. I'm not sure he can veto winning or losing. I guess he can, but he sure as hell can veto when he shows up. Fine, then you've earned that. Then Sasha Banks should have said, look, I'm going to do everything you want me to do, but my contract's coming up, and when my contract comes up, I am not staying unless I get creative freedom. And if the WWE felt she deserved it and they gave it to her, then absolutely, then I'm on Sasha Banks' side because you gave it to her. If you gave it to her, you can't take it away. But how come people feel that one side can violate the contract, but the other can't? So how about if Sasha comes in and says, I don't want to lose this person or I don't want to do this match. How about if when Sasha's paycheck comes, they say, we don't want to pay you that much, so we paid you substantially less. Is that okay? Or would she say, that's not what the contract says? See, you can't have it both ways. You just can't. It's silly. The WWE has to do this because wrestling is an unusual business, folks. Wrestling is like no other business in the world. I compare it sometimes to a movie, but it's really not like a movie so much. Because a movie, you get your script and you know you're auditioning for the part and you know ahead of time what the part requires because you've read it. We never really know what the part's going to, where that part's going to take you. If you're a guy like Aaron Stevens and you're playing Damian Sandow, you know what part you're auditioning for. Hero of the masses. A sort of a cross between the genius Lanny Poffo and whatever. And you know that your character has to be a certain way. And you know there's the way you got to dress, the way you got to look, the way you got to talk. But you don't know where it's going. Maybe you're going to be the champion. Maybe you're going to be a bum. We can't really tell right now. That's not in the script yet. So it's not like that. So this is the problem. You have to have someone with the ultimate authority to say, this is how we feel we can best use you. If they're wrong, they're wrong. But they still have the right to be wrong because they're signing your paycheck. That's my point. If somebody said, I see nothing in Sasha Banks, I want her to do nothing but lose for the rest of her contract, she's going to do five-minute matches where she's squashed, because I don't see anything special in her, they're wrong. But they have the right to be wrong because they're paying you. And if you don't like it, then you simply say, okay, well, after I get done with this match, I'm walking, and you don't have to pay me because I don't want to be used like this. Then that's your right. It's not your right to say, I'm not doing the show. It's just not. It's a violation of your contract. And you talk to any lawyer other than that world-famous lawyer, CM Punk, and they will tell you if you're contracted and obligated to do something, you have to fulfill that contract. You can then try to get out of the contract. or have the contract voided. But you're obligated. If I sign a contract to perform somewhere and they tell me, well, it's going to be a, you know, a music festival with six other bands, and I say, oh, this is a great opportunity for me, so I'll do it for way less money because there'll be six bands there and I'll get heard by a lot of different people. And then they say, oh, yeah, well, turns out it's not going to be a festival. We couldn't get any other bands, so you're just playing, and that's it. I could say, well, you violated the contract, so I'm not playing at all. And that would be my right. But there's people out there who paid to see something happen. So I would never do that. I'd say, well, okay, I'm going to play this because there's people out here. But I'll never work for you again because you lied to me. That's all. That's what you do. If you hate your boss right now, if you're working at, I don't know, a department store somewhere, and you hate your boss, the right thing to do is to say, look, I don't think I'm being treated fairly. Here's my 2 weeks' notice. You don't walk out in the middle of the busiest time with 17 people at the register waiting to be checked out and say, I quit. Because that's not fair and that's not honorable. Period. Let me give you an example. A wrestling example. I remember going to see, I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him. I remember going to see a certain wrestler who was contracted to work for 2 hours signing autographs. He had about 45 to 60 people in line after the 2 hours, and he got up and he left. And his excuse was, I was paid for 2 hours. As soon as that second hand hits the 2 hours, I'm out of here. And he was. Then I went to see the Bushwhackers, and they were paid for 2 hours. Same person. I happen to know the guy who paid them. This is how I know. They were paid for 2 hours. They had about 85 people in line after the 2 hours. And people were getting mad, saying, we're not going to get an autograph. We're not going to get an autograph. You know what the Bushwhacker said? We're staying until all the autographs are signed. We just got to hurry because we got a flight to catch. But we're gonna sign everybody's autographs. We're going to start speeding it up. And they stayed probably an extra 35, 40 minutes. They didn't have to. Their contract didn't say that, but it was the right thing to do. There's a difference. The right thing to do for Naomi and Sasha is to have went out there and done the SmackDown match and then walked out if that's what they needed to do, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I've heard about that too, and I've seen people. There was an independent show where Shane Douglas showed up. The promoter show. In fact, it happened right here in my town that he came in and he. He sat at a table and he signed some autographs, right? And just like that, He sat down for a couple of hours. He even came in there and because what's his name was still the champion at the time with the NWA. He was there. Nick Aldis was there as well. So he goes into the ring and says, "There's a." Cuts a promo on Nick Aldis. Not only did we get Shane Douglas signing autographs at this independent show, but we got him cutting a promo on Nick Aldis. You know, so
yeah,
that's how things are supposed to work. You know, that's how things. And look, you mentioned Brock Lesnar and his contract. Brock Lesnar not only has what you said he has in his contract, but he also has. A clause that says who he gets to choose who he fights and who he doesn't fight. See what he did with right. Jinder Mahal. You know?
That's correct. Absolutely. And listen, you can argue it and say, well, that's bad, but he negotiated it and you signed it. So this is a good example you brought up, Mike. So how about if Brock Lesnar gets to the arena and says, I have agreed to fight Roman Reigns. And they said, well, you know what? We've changed our mind, and you're going to go out there and instead, and you're going to be fighting Chad Gable, and he's pinning it. okay, well, that's not good because my contract says something different. So if they forced him to do that, he could walk out, legally walk out and say, you violated the contract. My contract says I don't have to do that. If he had no such clause, he has no leg to stand on. He has to go out there and do that. Period. Have it written in your contract. If it's so important to you that you want total creative control over your character, then make sure you have it in your contract. And if the WWE won't give it to you, it's because they don't feel you've earned it because they've given it to other people. So therein you have it. It's not a hard concept. I'm sorry. It's just not. And anybody who's listening to this show or are these people who are in these rooms that I sometimes go into to talk to fans, I'm telling you, I've never seen such a mess of fans who think they know business deals and everything else. Oh, no, no, you're wrong. That's a bootlicker mentality. How's that a bootlicker mentality? That's the law. The law is a bootlicker mentality. So wherever you work, go in tomorrow and say to them, I'm not doing what you want. You hired me to do this. I'm not doing it. I'm doing something else. And see how long you last. That's all I ask. And then you tell me who the bootlicker is. You agreed to do the job. I don't care if you don't like it. You got to suck it up and do it. And learn from that experience and say, I ain't doing this no more. When my contract comes up, I want creative control to some extent. That's all. And you either get it or you don't, and you walk. But you don't get to call the shots. You're not the bosses, despite what her nickname is. Having said all of that, SmackDown this week was a large, large step above what SmackDown normally is. I thought the whole show was rather entertaining. And we'll get to the ratings in a minute, but I did want to mention one other thing, and I guess it's mostly going to affect Raw, and that's Lacey Evans, because somebody came up with an idea, and I hope it's not true. I cross my fingers that this is not true. But the world we live in, it might be true. They said, you don't think the WWE is possibly trying to make someone who is pro-military, pro-motherhood, pro-work ethic be the bad guy because there's so many woke people out there who think that that's hopelessly uncool and terrible and dumb and stupid and old-fashioned. And so she'd be the heel. Oh, rooting for military, warmonger, motherhood. I suppose a man can't have a baby, right? I bet you support the police, too, the fascists. I hope that's not what they're trying, because it will fall flat. It will fall completely flat. There is no way, if she espouses these principles, that people are going to turn on her and say, well, she's this crazed right-wing lunatic. Because she will be considered a face, I'm telling you. Look how hard Jack Swagger had to work with Zeb Coulter. And they were actually in the wrong. I mean, they were taking it one step further. They weren't just saying, well, I support the military and I support the law. They weren't saying, oh, we support immigration, but not just illegal immigration, but just not illegal immigration. They were saying, we don't want anybody in this country. They were totally going like radical nutso. And fans were still cheering them. So if you just make her a proud military person, a proud mother, old-fashioned values, America first values, and she's going to be the evil one because she's going to be like the female Donald Trump, you're nuts. It's not going to work. It is absolutely not going to work. Now, the reason I don't think they're doing that is because the last promo she cut, there was a tip-off. And that tip-off was she was saying how hard her life was and how bad, you know, she found someone who tried to commit suicide and, you know, her family, her father was abusive and all this stuff. And then she added, things got so bad, I had to learn how to put my makeup on at wrestling shows. And I said, okay, there's the tip-off. She's going to equate things that are really bad with things that don't are inconsequential. So she's going to come out and say things like, I understand that the economy is in a horrible situation, but I broke my nail. Do you know how hard that is in a state like this to find somebody who can do this nail? This was a real tragedy. And people are going to say, okay, you're a jerk. That's what I think they're planning for her. But, Mike, if it's the first one, it's not only is it not going to fly, it's going to backfire huge.
It's going to backfire huge. And remember, they did something like that when they – remember when Becky Lynch first really started to get big and what they did and how they handled that situation? She didn't start getting cheered because of anything they did. You know, they totally mishandled that whole situation with Becky Lynch, and she got cheered anyway, right? I mean, it could work out that way where they're totally botching the whole situation. And she gets cheered anyway, like Jack Swagger. Yeah, I mean it got so bad. Remember what happened? It got so bad with Jack Swagger and them that Jeff Coulter had to break character because they'd marked out Glenn Beck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, they did have to break character because Glenn Beck didn't understand. Glenn Beck's point was the things you're saying is ridiculous. Republicans don't feel that way. And you claiming to represent the Republican Party or the Conservative Party is insulting because that's not what we said. And Zeb Coulter came back and said, it's a character. That's all it is. Didn't Joe Gacy do the same thing with like the woke people? He sort of did the same thing. It's a character. They went to the extreme, the farthest right extreme they possibly could go. And people were still cheering them. So I'm sorry to tell you, it's not going to work with Lacey Evans. Derek in the chat room saying, you know, if she's just going to come out and support the military, who's not going to support her? Really, honestly. She's going to have to start getting into that. My problems are bigger than yours. My inconsequential problems are bigger than your real life ones, your really bad ones. Then people might start booing you. So I hope that's where this is going, because if it's not, and the guy I talked to is right, and they're hoping to make her a right-wing, horribly uncool, unwoke, whatever, it's not going to work. She's going to be cheered. And if you're going to tell me, well, that's okay, we want to divide the audience, I don't like it. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. We already have enough division in this country. We don't need it in a wrestling angle. You'll see fights right in the arena. That's what you'll see. You'll actually see fights. Because she comes out and says positive things about the military, and somebody's booing the military, and there's a military guy there, he's going to be like, F you. And then the next thing you know, we got a problem. So the WWE better not even be considering that. I think they're going to go with a disingenuous, my problems are bigger than yours type thing. But they better start doing it quick. It's going to be hard for her to in any way, shape, or form insult the military when she was in it. See, that's the problem. If she could somehow, like, have not been in it and say, I support the military so much and I understand the struggles they go through and it's terrible to leave your family and go to a foreign country. It's almost like me. When I go on these wrestling tours and I have to leave my family and come to this place, which is like a foreign country, really. Then you're like, are you going to compare you being a wrestling superstar, getting boo-foo money to come out here and entertain an audience with somebody who's fighting for our country? Then that would work. But not when she was in the military, because then it wouldn't make any sense. So you've painted yourself in a corner, and I don't know what you're going to do with her. I think the character stinks, because I don't know how it's possibly going to work either way. Having said that, though, I'm giving SmackDown this week. I'm going to surprise some people. I'm giving SmackDown this week an A+. Despite the fact that I thought some things were stupid, I'm giving it an A+ only because in the writing, I'm starting to see vast improvement. And I can't tell you the last time I tuned in to a WWE event, whether it be a premium live event or Raw or SmackDown, that I honestly and truly saw fans giving real heat to wrestlers. It's been years. It may be more than years. It literally may be like 10 years. I can't remember the last time when fans were like, this is bullshit and everybody's mad. And that's what I saw in that crowd Friday. And I was like, holy crap. There are kids crying. There are fathers calming their sons down. There are guys yelling, and they're not kidding. Instead of yelling with a smile on their face, there are people really yelling. And I said, Jesus, you've done it. You've done the impossible. You broke through the kayfabe. You actually pissed people off, even though they know it's not real. You pissed people off. And that's really hard to do today. Really, really hard to do. So I got to give an A+, Mike, because I just don't think you could have done any better with that main event.
You know, I love the main event. I love some of the stuff. I just cannot give it an A+. I'll give it an A, and what takes the plus from it is because of what they're doing with Butch.
Yeah, I know. That's bad. It's bad, but they haven't destroyed him yet. I mean, that we can still see something. Maybe they got a plan for this. Plus, they did another good thing, which kind of rehabs them for what they did with Butch, and that is they had Xavier Woods say, I'm sick of this. Kofi's going to be back next week. I know there's three of them and two of us, but I got a person in mind that they're not going to like. Well, that we can speculate on who it's going to be, but the bottom line of the situation, Mike, is it's one of those things that you say, well, I'm going to tune in to see it because God knows who it's going to be. So that was a nice little tease.
It was a nice little tease. And one other thing, you mentioned Nikki Cross earlier. Guess who showed up on, I believe it was AEW Dynamite this week. Big Damon, which is Nikki Cross's husband.
Yes. And, of course, Morrison. Yep. Morrison is now AEW, and that's a good pickup. We'll see what happens. The AEW, see, the thing I'm having problems with the AEW, other than that whole CM Punk fiasco, is that I think fans are blind to certain things. Like they're saying, well, Andrade was horribly misused in WWE. You're damn right he was. Because if you go back to NXT and you watch the match he had with Johnny Gargano, I was on my feet through about 90% of that match. To this day, it's one of the best matches I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of matches. And he never came close to that in the WWE because they wouldn't let him. But if you think he's better off in AEW, you're insane. What are they doing with him? Absolutely nothing. He's a secondary character on a secondary team that's just, well, whatever. Whichever way the wind blows. He was hot for 2 weeks and then boom. Or Keith Lee. Oh, you horribly misused Keith Lee. You're damn right you did. I don't want to hear anybody's bullshit about he's not that good. I sat front row in 5 or 6 different independent wrestling cards where I watched this guy do what he can do, and if you think he's overrated, you're nuts. He's fantastic. Yeah, they misused him in the WWE. Absolutely did. So he goes to AEW, and what's he doing? He's on AEW Dark. Is he better off? How are these guys better off? I don't understand how half of these guys, is Aleister Black better off? What the, is he a world beater over there? Is he in a huge situation over there? Not really. House of Black. Little tip of the iceberg, secondary, third storyline type thing. Hey, he was doing that good in the WWE. So I'm sorry to tell you, a lot of these guys who are jumping ship ain't no better off. Now, was Morrison misused? Yes. He was misused. And when he broke off from The Miz, I thought, we're going to get something out of Morrison. We're going to get a face turn, and we're going to get a pretty good one, and we're going to see a feud with The Miz and probably above that. And we got nothing. They let him go. Am I confident that AEW is going to do the right thing with him? Absolutely not. They'll utilize him for a week or two, and he'll be on AEW Dark. So is he better off? No. I don't see how a lot of these people are better off. Initially, they were. Like Morris, I mean, Moxley was better off, obviously. Is Jack Swagger better off? Well, he doesn't do anything. Matt Hardy's better off. Jeff Hardy better off. Jeff Hardy is doing nothing with him. So I don't think necessarily, Mike, all these people that jumped ship are any better off than they were.
Well, yeah, and they're not better off. But again, if the WWE don't want them, you know, and they're looking for a paycheck, they may not be better off, but they're getting paid. But you know, I mean, yeah, they're some of these people are gonna end up probably, you know, going back to the WWE. Not the ones that have badmouthed them, but I'm talking about, you know, there's a possibility Keith Lee goes back. There's a possibility some of these other people will go back. And frankly, you know, I think there's maybe a possibility that Morrison goes back. Now, is there a possibility that his wife ends up in AEW? I don't know, but it could be, you know. It is what it is with that, but... Yeah, it is what it is.
But no, my point, you're right. They got fired, so, I mean, they have to work somewhere. But when AEW fans tell me they're better off there, no, that's not true. Of course, they are better off financially than not having a job. But are they actually being used better, or are they going to be used better than they were in WWE? No. For the most part, they're not. That's my problem, is everybody says, well, Vince didn't utilize his talent. Well, that's why. Vince didn't use them. Well, is Tony Khan? I don't see it. I don't see it. So let me tell you in closing a little bit about this MJF thing with him. He took down that tweet, by the way. He initially posted it, but I think he took it down, basically saying, I lived with the guy, and he's absolutely not in any way, shape, or form anti-Semite. MJF is not afraid to confront people, for real. Sometimes he confronts them in his persona, but MJF says what he wants. And if he's going to start busting on this woke left nonsense, this could get very interesting, because I think he's going to get a fan base is the problem. I think he could get unusually popular. Because if he starts to take on this cancel culture crap, there's going to be people who are really going to root for him. And this is how his favorite, I think one of his favorite wrestlers, he said, was Roddy Piper. This is the real way you honor Roddy Piper's legacy. See, Ronda Rousey says, oh, Roddy Piper is my favorite wrestler, and I name a move after him and everything. She has no mannerisms at all or has learned nothing from Roddy Piper. It's great that that's her favorite wrestler, but she's learned nothing from him. MJF could be the exact same guy that he is, only doing it to the bad guys, and he would be immensely popular. Just like Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper was the loudest mouthed, most obnoxious, sharp-tongued person in the world. And fans hated him because, oh, he said all these horrible things about my favorites. But the minute he started saying it about the people you didn't like, all of a sudden he was hugely popular, Mike. I see that same thing with MJF. People are saying, I don't know how you'd ever turn him face. I think the same way you did Roddy Piper.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, look, this is a guy that he's got something about him that if you want to, if they absolutely want to give him a segment like Piper's Pit, you know, to do, he could do it, you know.
Absolutely. That's,
a lot of the stuff that happened with Roddy Piper, him hitting Jimmy Snuka with a pineapple and all that stuff, happened where? On Piper's Pit.
Yeah, on Piper's Pit.
Now, when he first became really big as a, well, when he first turned as a face, what happened? That segment when he did what he did with Martin Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you gave MJF a show similar, and I don't mean like Miz TV, I don't like these things where they're in the ring. I think they should build a set again and actually do it like a set thing. I always like that. If you gave MJF a show, I could potentially see him having a huge run as a heel and then pissing off the wrong people, getting a huge beatdown, a la Roddy Piper when they smashed up Piper's Pit and started the flower shop and all that. I could see him getting that huge beatdown, that huge sympathy factor because people want to cheer him anyway. And then coming back, same character, just against the heels this time and being immensely popular. And then you'd have a huge face run for him. So his potential really is unlimited. MJF is one of the very few people, very few, I can count them on one hand and probably have fingers left over, that has unlimited potential in the wrestling business because there's so much you can do with them. There's an endless amount of things you can do with somebody like that. It's not a one-trick pony. It's not, well, we got to do this, and then maybe if it catches on, we'll do that. No, there's a million different things you could do with MJF, and all of them are likely to be successful. So he's the top blue chipper right now. There's no question about this. If you ask me, you're starting a wrestling federation, and you have to have that one blue chipper, I'm taking MJF. Absolutely. I'm taking him above any of the other people. Now, I'm not saying currently active guys like Roman Reigns and all these people. What I'm saying is if I already had a federation and they're saying, well, there's some blue chippers out there that's going to be free agents. You can keep your Will Ospreys. You can keep guys like that. That's fine. They're great and they're talented, but that I'll take MJF because I can do so much more with him, Mike, in the long run that it makes him the most valuable to me.
Absolutely, you know, and think about it. There are a number of guys on that AEW roster that you would want, you know, that have something about them. But MJF being, what, 25, 26 years old now.
Yep.
I mean, he's got another 20 years in the business or more, probably, you know,
yep.
Being that young.
Yep, the age factor, too. For a guy that young, with the amount of different things he has to offer, yeah, that's the guy you want. And I'm telling you right now that I will be shocked if he doesn't go to the WWE. I will be shocked. Because I think MJF, deep down inside, likes and understands the WWE style more than he does AEW. I think what he has to offer is just hand in glove what the WWE likes to promote. And it's a perfect matchup. You know, MJF in AEW right now is like putting a hot dog on a hamburger bun. It may still be a good hot dog, and a hamburger bun's made out of the same damn thing as a hot dog bun, but it doesn't fit perfectly. WWE does for MJF. He is tailor-made WWE superstar, I'm telling you, above anybody else, on the AEW roster, he is 100% tailor-made WWE superstar. He's not only he's an impossible miss. You couldn't screw him up. You could not screw him up. If the WWE actually gets him and screws him up, I will come on here and make a public apology because I will probably never watch the WWE again. Because if you are so lame that you could screw up a guy like MJF, then I'm sorry, you have no business being in the wrestling business anymore. You have no idea what you're doing because he's foolproof. There's really no way to mess him up. And I'm not saying he has to be the champion and he has to be the top guy. I'm just saying you can't mess him up. If he loses, he's still got the mouth. You can't mess the mouth up. If he wins, he's still a factor. If he manages, if he announces, there's no end to things you can do with him. No end. Oh, and by the way, we had, of course, L.A. Knight come in as, what's his name, Dupree? I don't know what the hell that's all about. That poor guy. First, he's L.A. Knight, which sounds like a soccer team. I don't know what's wrong with just calling him what he always called himself. I don't know. But now, for some reason, he's a male modeling agency, Mike, called Dupree Modeling Agency. What the hell is that all about?
I don't know either. And frankly, if they knew that they were going to do this, then they should never have fired the one half of the guys, you know, the fashion police, because that was his gimmick. He was a male model, right?
That would have been so good, Mike. You hit the nail on the head. If he was the manager of those guys, that would have been such an act. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the mileage you could got out of the fashion police with Eli Drake being their manager? Holy crap. That would have been fantastic. Unfortunately, they're both gone, although I heard that Tyler Breeze is showing up on the up, up, down, down thing, so who knows? Maybe they're reconsidering. And I had heard Fandango was actually quitting the business, but now all of a sudden he's on every independent show that I look at, so I don't think that's happening. So I don't know. Maybe there's still a possibility of it, but that's a great idea, Mike. He would have fit perfectly in that.
I've seen Fandango in the NWA. He's Dirty Dango,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
So yeah,
yep.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, if that's true, and Tyler Breeze is still appearing on, and to my knowledge, I haven't heard him have signed with anybody else, Tyler Breeze. So it'd be very easy for the WWE to go to Tyler Breeze and say, "Hey, we're gonna sign you. We got this thing, then we're going to bring you up and we're going to put you with LA." Well, Mark,
absolutely agree with you, and I'll tell you right now, if they did that, I'd buy the t-shirt the second it comes out, because that's a can't fail combination. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.